This episode of Sessionable is brought to you by Dave's Travel and Events Group, who offer awesome beer-related experiences including brewery tours, walking tours, and events packages. They also own and operate Sydney Beer Week, Sydney's biggest and best celebration of beer, running from the 20th to the 29th of October. It's bound to be another great festival this year, with events ranging from a table tennis competition at the Welcome to, of course, Sessionable's own live podcast at the Royal Albert on the night of Monday the 23rd. For the full program, hit up sydneybeerweek.com.au, and for more info on Dave's, check out daves.com.au. All right, on with the show.
Sessionable.
Welcome to Sessionable. I am your host, Adrian, and my co-host here is Tom Evans.
That's me. It's probably not going to be a super long episode.
Yeah. We're going to try something new, though.
Yep.
But first, let's get a quick news roundup.
Yeah. So, yet another brewery takeover,
yep,
buyout.
Takeover watch.
I don't want to go on about it for too much.
Yeah.
We've talked a lot about this topic.
I think this one is significant in the sense that it's an old brewery being bought out by a very old brewery,
yep,
as well. So, Anchor, who I guess invented the steam ale or innovated the steam ale.
I believe so.
Based in the Bay Area,
yep,
in California, has been bought out by Sapporo of Japan.
Yeah. Now, Sapporo, obviously, massive brewery, but
yes,
hasn't been making as many strides as other companies recently, right?
No.
So that's kind of the other interesting thing is now there's sort of a new player, I guess. Not a new player. They've been around for a long time, but
yeah, in terms of acquiring,
yeah,
other brewers. And they did say in the press release, you know, I'm not sure whether it was legitimate or not, but they say the marketing speak was that they felt some sort of camaraderie with an old brewery, so they bought an old brewery.
Yeah.
It is interesting because, I don't know, I guess Anchor isn't really super well respected. Well, I guess it's respected, but it's not like a beer nerd brewery.
No. It's maybe like, yeah, the beers itself are not super highly regarded.
Yeah.
Amongst beer nerds, I'd say.
Yeah, so it is interesting in that sense.
Whereas Anchor, I think, does hold a special place in a lot of people's sort of hearts, as because it's been around for a long time.
Yeah,
and
I think
such,
it was a gateway beer for a lot of American
lot of
drinkers,
yeah,
and maybe some foreign drinkers as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, again, we seem to have this piece of news
every
week, so we won't bang on about it.
But in
bigger news.
Bigger news. This is something I've been waiting a long time to happen.
Yeah. So Tui's New has taken over as the sponsor of the New South Wales Blues,
yep,
over VB.
Look, all I'm going to say is, I think if you look at the stats, Tui's New used to sponsor the Blues.
Yep.
I think they sponsored them for, it was something like 15 years.
Yep.
And they lost only four of those 15 years.
Wow.
VB has sponsored the Blues a lot recently, and I think the record speaks for itself. So
new winning streak coming, then.
You know, next year is our year, is the official motto of the New South Wales Blues, I think.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's our quick news roundup for today.
Yep.
Before we get onto the beer we're drinking, it's directly related to what we're going to do right now.
Yeah, we're trying something out a bit, something new. I rolled some virtual dice the other day.
Yep.
In preparation for this segment.
Yep.
And we basically picked, corresponding to the dice roll, picked out one random style from the BJCP style guidelines.
Yep.
Now, Adrian, you did the BJCP certification course years ago,
a long
right?
time ago, yep.
Yeah. What is the BJCP and what are the style guidelines?
So it's the Beer Judge Certification Program, which you have to take, or the exam you have to take in order to regularly judge beer competitions.
Yep.
A lot of them are homebrew competitions, but they're valid for national beer competitions,
yep,
as well. And yeah, so the guidelines are just a broad swath of styles of beer covering most styles,
yep,
but there's new styles being kind of innovated,
yep,
every day. So,
we've taken the styles on there.
The
2015 guidelines, which,
yep,
I think are the most recent ones.
Yep.
And we rolled 13B, which is British Brown Ale. So
what we're drinking is one of the an example of that.
Yep, and
style.
It is listed in the style guidelines as a commercial example. It's the Samuel Smith's Nut Brown Ale, Which is just a beautiful beer, isn't it?
It's been a while since I've had this.
Yeah, same. It's not something I really go to often. I don't know why that is.
I don't really drink heaps of bottles these days, so that's probably a factor for me. I don't really see it on tap if it is on tap in Australia.
Yeah.
But it's definitely... I do see it around in bottle shops. It's one of those distinctive bottles that, you know, classic bottles of craft beer.
That you see around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. I actually picked this one up not at a particularly crafty bottle shop. Not a uncrafty bottle shop, but...
Which one did you pick up?
It was a Liquor on Oxford.
Oh, okay.
Where I got this, which does have a good range.
Yeah, they have a pretty good range.
Yeah.
I haven't been there in a while either.
Whereas, like, probably one of the best crafty bottle shops around here, the only English-style brown ale they had was not English. And that's the one we'll have next.
But, oh, cool.
Yeah.
So, can you run us through this
style? Yeah, so, in the style guide, just the overall impression, the first listing in the guide is a multi-brown, caramel-centric British ale without the roasted flavours of a porter. So, that's what... they say brown ale is.
Yeah, and I definitely get that. It's has that hint of sweetness.
Yep.
No real roast going on that you would get in a porter or a stout.
Yep. And I think this one especially, and some of them have a sort of a very nutty character as well. There's no nuts in them.
Yep. That comes from the malts.
It comes from the malts.
I'm sure there has been nut browns that have been made with nuts.
Yep. Oh, and I think that is that's a bit of a kind of a new world take on it. Mm-hmm. He's adding nuts to it.
Yep.
Light sweet malt aroma, a light but appealing floral or earthy hop aroma may also be noticed, but should not dominate.
It's typically not associated with hops.
Yeah, and this one is not. This one I do think it's got a sort of light florally, you know, slightly fruity hop notes, but not a lot.
Yep.
Flavor wise, gentle to moderate malt sweetness, light heavy caramel character, and a medium to dry finish.
Yep.
Nutty, toasted, biscuity. Toffee or light chocolate are also words that the style guideline throws out in terms of flavour. Which, and I think it's good that we're drinking this one because this is bang on.
Yeah, this is a great example of the style. I think the typical example you would get for this style would be Newcastle Brown.
Yep, Newcastle Brown is one of the main commercial examples.
I didn't want to get a bottle of Newcastle Brown because they're clear and clear bottles. Are not good for the beer.
I was looking for one.
And you can get cans in Australia, but you have to get them from Dan Murphy's directly because they don't sell to at the shops.
Oh, really? You have to order online.
Because I think they get it directly from their supplier.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
Yeah. So that's why... Like, if I could find a can of it, I would have brought it, but unfortunately...
Now, I've done a bit of reading on the history of brown ale.
Mm-hmm.
So the style we are looking at is specifically British brown ale is what it's called.
Yep.
Now, the style guideline admits, and my favourite British beer historian is pretty adamant about this fact, there kind of is no such thing as British brown ale as an overarching style. There's lots of sub-styles, lots of different sort of things in between. So if you say British brown ale, there's a lot in between. Martin Cornell is from Zithophiliac is who I'm talking about. Yep. That's my favourite beer historian.
Yeah, he's a legend.
He is a legend.
Yeah,
so... The style guideline says it's a wide-ranging category with different interpretations possible, ranging from lighter coloured to hoppy to deeper, darker, and caramel-focused. However, none of the versions have strongly roasted flavour.
Yep.
So Martin Cornell specifically calls out... I mean, if you look at the difference just between this beer and Newcastle Brown, which is not as deep brown.
Yep.
It's a bit more of a tan, red, brown.
Approaching amber.
Yep. And yet that's still lumped into the same style as this beer. Yeah, so if you compare, you know, Newcastle Brown Ale to this beer, they're very different, yet they're lumped into the same category.
And indeed, Newcastle Brown is one of those ones that is quoted as the style.
Exactly.
Like the
typical, as a commercial example of this style, as a sort of an herb type. What the style guideline brings up as well is that British Brown Ale is a separate category to London Brown Ale. London Brown Ale being... not as strong, but more sweeter.
Right.
And it's a separate style in the guidelines.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
There's also, I think in previous guidelines, there were separations between northern and southern brown ales.
Okay.
So
Newcastle will be northern, I'm guessing.
Yeah. And a lot of that comes back to the history of brown ale. So originally, brown ales were brewed with 100% brown malts.
Yep.
They were tricky. They were more expensive. And so brewers started to basically move towards pale malts, or mild ale malts.
Yeah.
Caramel malts are sort of a specialty, and then adding darker chocolatey malts to get the colour.
Yep.
And that's sort of where some of the splits in style seem to have originated from. So I love looking at the little intricacies of the guidelines and what fits where and how they're split and what the historical sort of weirdness is around that. That's sort of something interesting to me.
Hmm. Cool. I love this.
This is a great beer.
Tastes like England.
It does. Yeah. And it's probably one of my favourite styles of English ale.
Yeah. I'm down with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just because I love the, again, that sort of nuttiness, that light toastiness.
Yeah. And you don't really get that a lot from any other styles from other countries.
No.
It's very much an English thing.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know, obviously other brewers around the world do beers like this style, but it is generally, you know, as a shoot off from this style.
Exactly. So we've mentioned a couple of examples of English brown ale. Obviously, there's the Samuel Smith's Nut Brown that we're drinking now.
Yep.
Newcastle brown ale. The style guideline also lists the Witchwood Hobgoblin, which I think we've mentioned on the show.
Yeah, I think we've had it on the show.
Which is another great beer. I think I had a pint of it at Wembley Stadium watching the FA Cup once.
Find a way to bring up the FA Cup,
When Arsenal, won. It was great.
Yeah, one of those times when Arsenal won.
We thought we'd give you some other styles to look out for and give a try. Some other examples of the style to look out for and give a try.
Yep.
One that I am a big fan of, it's an Australian version, the Mornington Brown Ale.
Yep.
So that's
an English
brown? It's an English style brown.
Okay, cool.
It's maybe somewhere between American and English.
Yeah.
But I still think it's not overly hop forward.
No, and I would say it is in between. It's a bit more dry than you would get from a typical example like Sam Smith's.
Yeah.
But it is a solid beer. I can't really think of any. I mean, I guess whenever I think of the style, it's the English examples that I think of.
Yeah.
And Sam Smith's Nut Brown is my favorite of that style.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any other faves of yours in terms of
We've probably covered most of them, and we're just about to try another one, which we'll do when we come back from the break.
Yeah.
And we'll see how that stacks up, I think.
Yeah, cool.
Yep.
Before we go on the break, how about we roll for the next
style? Yeah, let's do that. Okay, so
we won't necessarily cover it every episode, but we will come
back.
The next time we do this, what are we going to do?
Okay, so we've rolled four, which is pale malty European lager.
No.
And now, just roll to see which pale malty European lager we're going to be trying, and it is Fest beer.
Ooh, that's interesting.
You're probably going to start seeing some of them come out soon. We might save that for a few weeks.
Until
September.
Okay.
When they start coming out.
I'm not super excited about this, but
I am. Look,
but we're committed.
Yeah, we're committed. Okay. Yeah. So we're doing Fest beer. This is another one that's right up my alley. I was kind of hoping to roll a one on that second one to get Munich Hellers.
Oh, God.
but no. Yeah, so should we take a break?
Yeah, let's take a break, cool. Finish these beers and get into the next one.
Yeah.
Sessionable.
Keen to check out the beers of Sydney's northern beaches? Well, good news. Dave's Travel and Events Group now offer a Surry Hills pickup location for their Northern Exposure Tour. That means that not only will you get a behind-the-scenes look at great breweries like Modus Operandi and Four Pines, but you also won't have to worry about getting there and back, so you can have more than a few sneaky pints. Check out daves.com.au to book your tour today. Okay, back to the show. And we're back.
We are back.
Just a quick shout out to the Royal Albert for letting us record again, as they're legends.
So we've just poured the Alesmith Nut Brown from San Diego, California. This is their sort of tribute to the English style brown ale.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I don't believe there are any nuts in it.
Wow, that's really nice.
It is really nice.
Yeah.
Now, how do you think it stacks up as a British brown ale to the style guidelines?
I mean, just having it side by side to the Sam Smith, it's pretty similar. It's probably a bit drier cleaner in the ferment.
I think it's great. I think it does nail sort of the nuttiness, the toastiness.
Yep.
But I also think it's maybe a little bit roasty.
Okay.
Which is something that's specifically called out as not. Part of the style, which is, again, doesn't make it a bad beer. In fact, it's that kind of...
So it's kind of closer to a brown porter rather than...
Okay. But yeah, it's still a really nice beer and I think pretty close to style. So, and I think it's because it is a style that speaks to people. It's got a lot of complexity and character and flavour, but it's not too hard to drink.
Yeah, I'm digging it.
Yep.
Before we get to recommendations... with the Sydney Beer Week program now out,
we're going to do a Sydney Beer Week recommendation at the end of every
week. Yeah, I thought we'd then cover one of the events.
I like the idea.
So our friends at Wildflower are doing a very special beer release that uses all New South Wales ingredients.
Yep.
So they're using malts from Voyager.
Yep.
And they're using their house foraged yeast from New South Wales, and this one they're not blending with commercial yeast, which they usually do.
Yep.
So it's going to be slightly different from their other beers, and they're using hops from the Ryefield hop farm.
Yeah, which is a New South Wales hop farm.
Yeah,
which is very exciting. So the beer's called the Waratah.
Yeah,
it's called Waratah, which I think is a great name.
Yeah, for a New South Wales.
Yeah. Wildflower
beer release. Yeah, I really like it.
And yeah, so it's on Saturday, October 21st, and it's an all-day event. So it's listed here as 8 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Sweet, I'll be there at 8.
Yeah, so I'll see you there at 8. Actually, at 8 a.m., Topher's going to be doing a tech talk talking about working with barrels and extended aging for home brewing.
Nice one.
And so he's going to have, there's going to be a few tech talks throughout the day.
Yep.
At 8:30, there's one with Jade and Morgan from Ryefield talking about homegrown hops. Stu Whitcross from Voyager is going to be talking about home roasting grains.
Oh, this sounds awesome, actually.
Chris from Batch is going to be talking about recipe development. At 10, there's going to be a panel with everyone. And at 11, Toph is going to talk about mixed culture fermentation for pro brewing and home brewing.
And then 12 o'clock, we'll be passed out.
Yeah. So we'll see you there bright and early, 8 a.m. On a Saturday.
Nice.
Sounds fun.
Nice.
Yeah. So, recommendations. Do you have a...
What do we want to start on?
Good question, because I haven't thought about my beer one yet.
Cool. Let's start with non-beer then.
Yep.
I think I recommend this every season, but the latest season of Game of Thrones is a fucking cracker.
Yeah, it is.
And
it is
episode
excellent.
4 just came out this week. My God.
That was... I only just watched it today.
So good.
So good.
Yeah. Not just in terms of action, but there's a lot of callbacks to previous seasons as well.
Stuff, and a lot of stuff getting paid off that was set up in season 1.
Yeah.
Like, so a lot of some... Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah.
So excited for the next three episodes.
It's going to be epic.
Yeah. So, yeah, Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones.
Dude.
And I think at this point, if you're not watching Game of Thrones, you're probably thinking, like, oh, I'll never watch it. It's, you know, it's too hyped, or it's that, like, thing where, like, people haven't seen Star Wars, and the more you tell them to see Star Wars, the less they want to see it.
Yeah.
Just, the thing is, like, it's a well-made TV show with really... developed characters and complex but interesting and easy to follow storylines. Like, it's good. It's not just
popular. The show is reasonably easy to follow. The books are kind of a bit more complex.
Sure, but even the books aren't that bad.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I'm a bit... It annoys me when people are like, oh, no, I don't want to watch it because it's not my thing. It's like, just give it a fucking go.
Yeah. Cool. What's yours?
So mine is... I was tossing up between... two things I've been consuming a lot of recently.
Yeah.
I think I've probably talked about Survivor enough on the podcast, so I'm going to recommend a game for my Nintendo Switch instead.
like you haven't talked about your Nintendo Switch.
I basically alternate between Survivor and Switch, and that's pretty much my life at the moment. But Splatoon 2.
Yep.
So I never got to play Splatoon 1 because I didn't have a Wii U.
Yep.
But I've picked up Splatoon 2. I'm not very good at first-person shooters. It's not really my thing usually.
Yeah, but it's more of a casual one,
isn't it? Very casual. Yeah. And games only go for like 2 minutes, so...
Yeah, great.
If you're doing bad in a game, you know, it's not long till you can maybe try something different.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so I'm really enjoying it. I'm not particularly good at it, but I am having fun. Yeah, so beer recommendations.
Beer recommendations.
One?
Yeah, I do have one. So... Wayward head brewer Sean Blizzard recently had a kid. Congratulations. And in commemoration of that birth, they have brewed a beer called the Wayward Son.
A great name.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it's a it's an IPA made with lupulin powder. And I had it last night and it was really, really good.
Awesome.
Yeah. So
I might go there tonight.
If you can get your hands on that.
Actually, I will go.
Go for it. Do you have a beer recommendation now, Tom?
I do. So I've been really enjoying, mostly on tap, but also in the can, it's pretty nice.
Yep.
The Balta Black Metal Disco.
Nice.
Which is the new limited release stout from Balta.
So that would have been my recommendation if I hadn't gone.
Okay, good.
The Wayward.
Well, thank you for going to Wayward, so I ended up being a recommend. I'm really digging it.
It's a really, really tasty beer. I think I like it better on tap.
I think I do as well.
I think it's more rounded, but it's still pretty good out of can anyway.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful looking can.
It is a 500ml can.
It's just mostly white.
Yeah, with like a light grey highlight.
It's with a Balta art on it.
Yeah.
Yep.
So if you find that, grab it. It's good stuff.
Yeah, cool. I guess that's it for today's episode.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. You can catch the podcast at Sessionable Pod. I think it's just Sessionable on Facebook.
Is it just Sessionable?
Yeah.
Yep.
And you can catch all the old episodes on iTunes, Overcast, and Sessionable.net.
Yep. And if you've got the time and if you like what we do, please head on to Apple Podcasts or iTunes and rate and review us.
Yeah. 5-star reviews only, please.
Please.
Yeah. If you're going to give 4 stars, just don't give it.
And if you ever have questions for the show that you want us to answer on the show, or you know, maybe not on the show, feel free to tweet us or leave a comment on the website.
And don't forget about our live episode
coming up for Sydney Beer Week.
It is going to be awesome. It's going to be very similar in terms of format to the last few live episodes we've done. So it's free to attend, but we will also be drinking beers along the way. And if you want to drink the beers with us and get a few snacks as well, it's a very reasonable ticket price.
It's probably been unreasonably reasonable the last couple of times.
A bit too reasonable.
Yeah. We'll see if we can keep that going, which I'm sure we can.
Yep.
Yeah. So,
and there will be t-shirt giveaways and other giveaways. And hopefully we're going to have some new t-shirts by then.
That's the plan, isn't it?
I think we're going to have some new t-shirts by then. So keep an eye out on that.
Yep. Great.
Cheers.
Cheers.